Now, there is to be an investigation into the bonfire fiasco with in relation to the Belfast City Council and what people at council knew or what they didn't know or how it came to be that the council were actually removing pallets to look after them before giving them back to the bonfire builders. Some people seemed to know that was happening. Some people weren't aware it was happening. And in the end, while they were looking after them, somebody stole them. It's like something you would see in a comedy. Let me speak to Jim McVeigh from Sinn Féin, who's on the council. Jim, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
It's a bizarre set of circumstances. I would have presumed by now we would have got to the bottom of who signed off this policy to go and collect the pallets, to store the pallets and to return the pallets. But yet and all, the chief executive's carrying out an investigation into this.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why we needed an investigation, Frank, obviously. I mean, I think you described it very aptly at the start of your contribution, the bonfire fiasco. It is a fiasco. I mean, the decision by some councillors, along with some officers, to remove somewhere like 3,000 pallets. We're not talking about 30 or 300, 3,000 pallets to move them, store them, with the intention of returning them to some of these bonfires, was a disaster for the council and the reputation of the council. And I mean, how can we complain about bonfires or bonfire builders, that when they put up a Union Jack, when someone puts a Union Jack on a bonfire, which is a disgrace, right, or puts a tricolour on a bonfire, or when someone puts a poster of someone or an effigy, or it's hard for we complain about those hate crimes, because that's really what they are. If we have been complicit in returning some of those materials to the very same bonfires. So we need to find out why and how those decisions were taken and how long this has been going on, only for the photographs that were taken by, I presume, a resident nearby of those materials being removed from, I think it's a Hope Street site. We may never have known that this activity was taking place, so we need an investigation. It needs to be thorough, it needs to be independent, and it needs to report on these matters as quickly as possible so we can get the bottom of it.
Yeah, I was talking actually to the wife of the guy who took the photograph. He was working in an office, and he simply thought the council were in helping to clean the place up when he took the photograph and put it on social media. And the council do have responsibilities. They have responsibility. Yeah. Indeed, we can't at the stroke of a pen do away with bonfires. Some people might like that. Some people may absolutely row against that in all circumstances. But we're not going to get rid of the problem of the bonfires. So therefore, the issue of doing something to ensure that that area around what used to be Day's Hotel is kept safe, or the area over in Coben Street is kept safe, some credit has to go to those councillors or those council workers who came up with the initiative to tidy the place up.
No, absolutely not. No credit whatsoever. That has been a disaster. Now, we're not pointing the finger of blame at council staff who removed these pallets. People who work for the council are just doing a job and they were told what to do. But the decision to... And let's break it down a little bit, Frank, for your listeners. So say take Oak Street. So here's what we did. We removed thousands of pallets at considerable cost to the ratepayers, by the way, right? We then went in and cleaned that site up, right? We were then going to return, we put a stop to it. We were then going to return those pallets to the same bonfire builders who were going to burn that bonfire, destroy the site, damage the ground and the local environment, right? Then we would move in afterwards, right, and repair that site, clean it up again, right? Getting ready for next year. So it's a ridiculous situation.
Yes, but you're campaigning to do away with the bonfires, Jim. That's beyond where we are with this crisis.
Well, I'm not campaigning to do away with the bonfires. We have a view that bonfires are destructive. We used to have dozens of bonfires around the internment anniversary back in the 1970s, but we soon learned that they were destructive, that they were antisocial, that they attracted all the wrong elements, that they generated anti-social activity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we moved away from that. It took us some time to get away from it. So we're not involved in a campaign to ban bonfires. We can't ban anything. But we do think the council should be encouraging people to move to celebrate their culture in a much more constructive and inclusive way without offending other cultures, without offending other people. But that's a slightly separate issue. This is about, Frank, the council's responsibility now. And we think it has been a disaster. You're right, it was a fiasco. It is a fiasco that the council had moved 3,000 pallets for storage only to be returned. I think that for many people across the city, regardless of their political allegiances, have obviously come to view that decision as a farce, as a disgrace, I would even go so far as to say. And it was a wrong decision. And at least last night at full council, we made sure that that would not happen again.
No, it is bizarre. There's no question. And even the blimmin' pallets were stolen from where the council was supposed to be looking after them. And whistleblowers who come forward with information about the council storing those pallets for the bonfires have been promised anonymity as part of this probe. And the most senior person in council, the chief executive, is leading the investigation, Suzanne Wiley. But the foot soldiers, it's the wrong term, the hard-working staff out with their vans and who are out with their trolleys and whatever, trying to keep the place spick and span, they'll be in areas where bonfire builders are expecting the pallets to be returned. During this investigation, there's an understandable concern from some workers that they're caught in the eye of the storm.
Yeah. Well, and I share their concern, and unfortunately it was a disastrous decision to remove, to store and return, that's put these people in that predicament. But I mean, the people who work for the council didn't make the decision, right? And that message needs to go out that there's no fault on the part of council workers. It's not their role to make policy decisions. They just simply implement those decisions. But the people who made the decision have to take responsibility for this. But it's those people, in our view, who put these people in a difficult position. But listen, obviously we have a duty of care, right, in this investigation. This isn't a witch hunt against the people who were carrying out the decision. But we need to find out why that decision was taken and make sure that it doesn't happen again. And that we need to get to the bottom of how often, for example, this had happened. We need to find out how much this has cost to the repair, so that we don't repeat it again. That's our view anyway, at least.
Now, the DUP's view is that the actions taken were to deliver what is best for the city and individual communities. No officer, council officer, should be condemned for that, nor subjected to a media or political witch hunt. They see it as ratepayers' money well spent, considering how busy a time of the year it is. And I put that to you before. There will be people who live in those communities who think, well, the council have a responsibility to provide a service. We are ratepayers, and this is part of our culture.
All right. Well, the council should not be complicit in building bonfires. It's as simple as that, Frank. That's not the role of council. Can you imagine if this happened in Scotland, England, or Wales? Let's be honest about this, or anywhere.
But the council have a responsibility to help with funding for culture.
Of course they do, and we should, and we do, right? But we shouldn't be funding activities, right, which poison the environment, and in many cases poison the minds of young people, because everybody knows that there have been countless examples of hate crimes. I mean, I'm talking about, for example, there's a huge bonfire at the bottom of Davis Street in West Belfast, where I come from, which we have been trying to do away with for the past number of years. And I think it was last year, certainly if not last year before, the people involved in that bonfire had union jacks, etc. Now, that is a disgrace. That's a hate crime. That's an affront to the unionist people of this city, the people who hold that flag very dear to the heart. And the same when bonfire builders put up tricolours or police flags or political posters, which has happened as well, or effigies of political leaders, or racist comments are made, or painted on signs, or whatever, right? Those are hate crimes. Now, the minute that we decided to move, to store, with an intention of returning pallets to bonfire builders, that put us right in the middle of it. That was a disaster, because it's made us complicit. How can we complain, Frank? Honestly, how can we complain if in one of these bonfires tomorrow something like that happens and the council comes out and condemns it, people will just laugh at us and say, but sir, you were returning the pallets to the very same bonfires. I mean, that's the contradiction, and it was a contradiction, and that officers, whoever they made that decision, should have foreseen. And of course, last night at the full council, Frank, the 19 unionist councillors voted to exclude the journalists, the media, from the meeting because they wanted to keep this secret. They wanted to keep this private. They didn't want to talk about this issue because they know it's a disaster. They have been involved in a decision which has been disastrous for our council and for this city.
Okay. Jim McVeigh from Sinn Féin, thank you. I'll speak to a unionist councillor in just a moment. 90-333-105 is the main number. Good morning to you. Councillor Jim Rogers. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Jim, it's a debacle, isn't it?
Well, it is up to a point, but the whole situation's got totally and utterly out of hand because what has now happened, especially in the last few days, the walkway bonfire, which is situated off Ravenscroft Avenue in East Belfast, in fact, an area that I was born and brought up in and I'm very proud of, they have lost faith in the council and council officers over the council going back in an agreement that was made with them several months ago that if they agreed to allow the council's contractors to take away the pallets and other materials for safe storage, and they would be handed back well before the 11th night. And that all has fallen by the wayside. And now what has happened, an increasing number of pallets. I've never seen as many in that site in all my life. And that bonfire is going to cause nothing but mayhem to the extent that in the next 24, 48 hours, I was urging our chief officers of the council, the police, the Fire and Rescue Service, the Environment Agency, and the six councillors or their nominees for the Titanic District Electoral Area, which is situated in, and the group leaders or their representatives to meet to see if there's anything that can be done. But personally, even at this late hour, I doubt that now because of the anger that the bonfire builders have built up.
Who made the decision? Who liaised with the bonfire builders? Who cut the deal?
Well, what happens, bonfires, we've got a bonfire scheme which works reasonably well, and this year a number of the bonfires representatives, the representatives have come back on board again because some of them were penalised over flags and bunting and also election photographs appearing at the last minute, when really they had no control and they were quite annoyed and angry. But most of them have now said, OK, we're prepared to give it another go. So most of the bonfires go off well.
But Jim, you're describing there who cuts the deal on behalf of the bonfire builder. Who at the council cut the deal?
Well, the position is this. We have councillors throughout north, south, east and west Belfast. What happens in the Rue Lodge in the north of the city or Divis in west Belfast, I don't take any interest in, but I do in east Belfast because I represent it. We had a bonfire working group that was set up by my council colleague, Sonia Copeland, 18 months ago, and she took control of that. She chaired it for at least 9 months, and then the officers suggested it might be better if they organised it, would take the pressure of Councillor Copeland, and she agreed. So they took over, and for quite a while we had regular meetings. This time round, there's only been two meetings since the bonfire last 11th of July, and at one of those meetings we discussed about materials being gathered on walkway, and the officers said, look, we need to do something about this. They're starting to gather far, far too early. And would you be happy? Now, this was the councillors, and all 19 councillors in East Belfast would have received a meeting, an invitation to that meeting. So we were asked to give the council officers the go-ahead to talk to the bonfire builders with a view of getting the site cleared and the material stored in a safe place, and for them to hand it back coming up to the 11th of July.
So basically what you're saying, a lot of unionist councillors agreed to liaise with council officers at the Belfast City Council to provide a facility for the, you could argue, for the betterment of the community. But by doing that, you were facilitating a fire, the burning, the preparation of a fire that would, as your critics say, include Irish flags, effigies, political posters, Polish flags, racist slogans, religious statues in some cases. So you were prepared to facilitate all of that with some sort of click and collect system that all of council didn't know about.
Definitely not. I am totally opposed to any flag being put on a bonfire or any election literature or anything that would cause an offence to people. But if you look at the makeup of the 19 councillors in East Belfast, you have the SDLP, you have Sinn Féin, you have DUP, you have Alliance, the UUP, you have DUP, you have PUP.
And right? Are you saying that SDLP councillors and Sinn Féin councillors backed a strategy to collect, store, and safely return the pallets in time for the 11th of July?
Well, all of those parties in East Belfast received an invitation to the meeting which took place in April. Some of them were not there, and some of them have never attended, but others did. And it was in the interest of the community, because the big fear now is that this bonfire, if it goes ahead, it could cause damage. And we discussed this with you last year, to the flats, to the houses, to the walkway community centre, to the walkway play area, a car wash and shops on the surface of the car park, which is now owned by Belfast City Council. And that's why you have to work with people. I've said that continuously to you, Frank, over the years whenever we've been discussing bonfires and other issues. You can't come in with a heavy hand, but it was decided almost 3 months ago that we needed to do something at an early stage. And councillors have been saying this right across the city. Whenever there's going to be a bonfire, let's nip it in the bud at an early stage and don't allow people to start gathering in the month of April or the month of May. And if you want to be part of the bonfire scheme, you have to wait until June before you bring on-site any pallets or anything like that.
Yeah, you've just described there an inferno that's waiting to happen. Flats at risk, houses at risk, playground at risk were three of the things you made reference to. The general area is going to be like a furnace. And the British media are going to be absolutely on that like plagues on a cow come the 11th night. And they're going to show it on all the front pages in relation to the main newspapers across the water. In the wake of the Grenfell Tower disaster, they'll be wondering what sort of idiots we are and what sort of people they've given £1.5 billion to.
Absolutely, Frank. And I am really deeply worried and concerned, like many of my colleagues who have been burning the midnight oil and will do so again today and tonight to try and get a resolution to this. And that's why, and I have pushed for this, that we need to bring our chief officers together, along with the Northern Ireland Environment Agency, the police, the fire and rescue service, the council officers, the housing executive, all of those important bodies, along with the elected representatives, to see if there's any way forward. And we are going to have to engage with the bonfire builders. But up to now,
yeah, but Jim, you make it sound like as if the bonfire builders are some sort of force or organisation that don't have to adhere to the rules, regulations and laws of the country. The bonfire builders have the responsibility not to build that bonfire in a way that threatens the community.
Correct. And the police can take action. The police, for example, this is an illegal bonfire. It's on a council site without any approval. So the very fact it's there, the people responsible are breaking the law.
Yes,
and
but
they need to remember
and
that.
We have a council who were facilitating those lawbreakers.
Well, let me put it to you like this. There's uncomfortable decisions that people have to take at central government, at local government, but it's in the interest of the community. If the pallets, if we had a kept to this arrangement, I have no doubt there is no way that this bonfire would have got to be the way it is now, Frank. And once you go back on your word, people lose faith in you. It's happened to many of us in politics. Whenever you tell people one thing and you do the opposite, they don't forget it. And whenever it comes to election time, they will not vote for you and you will lose your seat. And I'm a man of my word. If I say to somebody, I'll endeavour to do that, I will do my best. I can't always guarantee I'll get the result that I want. But in this case, with the bonfire, you should go yourself and have a look at this bonfire. It is scary. It is frightening. And it's getting bigger and bigger by the day. Why? Because what people are now saying, Belfast City Council failed us. Belfast City Council told us lies. And I don't want to hear anybody saying that about Belfast City Council, because Belfast City Council is a good council. Our chief officers, our officers and our staff are all super people working in the interests of every single person in the city of Belfast. And the same applies to elected representatives.
And finally, Jim, the stolen pallets, which were on the council property, which you were looking after to return before the 11th night, is there a presumption that most of those stolen pallets are already back on that bonfire site?
Well, I know there's been some speculation in the press, and I've asked questions and nobody's been able to tell me. Some people say that is the case. Some people say, no, it's not. That is still being looked after. But at the end of the day, Frank, we need to get a resolution to this whole matter, because the people in that area are up in arms. They're really worried and terribly concerned, and my heart goes out to them, and I want to be there with them to give them backing and to give them support. And I'm going to make an appeal to the bonfire builders. Please, please, please reduce the size of that bonfire in the interest of the area, and more importantly, in the interest of health and safety.
And you've no concerns at all that council staff have been handling stolen goods along the way here, because a lot of these pallets were stolen beforehand.
No, definitely not, Frank. And I want to nail that lie now. No way. Our staff make decisions every day without councillors being consulted. They can't contact us every minute with an email or a text message or send us a letter or make a phone call. We put our faith and confidence in them, and our officers right from the chief executive down do an absolutely brilliant job in the interest of our great city. And for people to try and kick them, and that's what's been happening, unfortunately, particularly from one political party, they want clearly heads to rule here. They have no feelings for people. They just think that they should know everything that is going on. And there's lots of things happening.
Jim, in fairness, I think the ratepayers would like to know what's going on. If you're paying your rates in Belfast, you'd like to know that you're facilitating the provision of the bonfire building requests in the east and south of the city.
Yeah, yes, and don't forget about the west and the north of the city. It's right across Belfast. There's bonfires, both Loyalists and Republicans. Yes, but what's going to happen now? This is going
In fairness, Jim, there isn't much money being spent in terms of ratepayers on the one or two nationalist-Republican bonfires that still occur. The vast amount of money we're discovering, ratepayers' money, is being spent on facilitating Loyalist bonfires. And it does surprise people that the council is providing that service.
That is because there are more bonfires in Loyalist areas than what there would be in Republican areas. But Frank, it's going to cost us more money than ever before over what has happened by us going back on our word. And I'm talking about us, I'm talking about the officers, because of the amount of pallets and other materials, including tyres, mark you, that are on that site and walkway. It's going to increase considerably. And whenever you still see them up until last night bringing material onto that site, I just am absolutely terrified at how tall and how wide that bonfire is going to be. But okay, Hopefully we can get a resolution. We've still some time left, even though the hour is late. And I and my colleagues will do our level best to try and make sure that the inferno, which you have mentioned, does not take place.
Okay, Councillor Jim Rogers, I'm eloquent with the description. That is concerning, the inferno. Now, just think about this image that we're sending across the rest of the United Kingdom. And the big issue is the council, our local council, are they facilitating that, or were they generally doing their best and they've been caught on the hop? You can let us know what you think. 90-333-105. Heading towards the news at 10 o'clock. Sammy's got a point. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning, Frank. But firstly, have you finished stabbing Jim Rogers in the back?
Why do you say that, Sammy?
Because I know the man. I mean, the man, I've done community work, and to me, he's one of the best councillors for the community. And he tried to give you an explanation, and you kept repeating it, and he kept telling you, but irrespective of that, I was talking to your rep there, but I seen a thing last year in Tullycarnet in East Belfast, and it was like a big brazier that had filled with straw. I thought it was going back to tradition, which I believe everybody should do, because the reason that they had the bonfires was the original thing was lighting up these torches to let them know that the battle had been won. Now, they should go. They want to take a race up the Tullycarnet Community Centre, and the square in front of it is where they put this giant brazier up. It's about 8 foot high.
Yeah, but Sammy, we know, because we've heard about this before, and it sounds like an excellent idea, but how on earth are you going to make that journey from inside the head of whoever's in charge of erecting the bonfire down on the walk at Coburn Street, that general area? How are we going to make that journey on any of those bonfires, or the bonfire close to Sandy Row, or even the big one up the Shankle, which doesn't seem to have the tyres inside it, in fairness? How would you ever get inside the heads of the people, even out at Finnehy, where they're erecting a bonfire right beside the high-rised flats, to tell them that burning some sort of beacon is the way ahead, when they absolutely believe that they're born to erect pallets? They're doing it from their 5 years old to their 50 years old. It's like a national sport.
Well, for a start, why don't the media praise the like of Tullycarnet and go out and show it? And then let them see. And somebody, with councillors or MLAs, say about the benefits to the community. I mean, it's a big responsibility. People would listen to yourselves and read the paper and take it in and maybe change their attitude. I know it's going to be hard to do, but if a couple do it every year, eventually it'll be acceptable for everyone to do this sort of thing.
Okay. Sammy wants to see the brazier, the beacon, as opposed to the traditional bonfire.